house all the time.
All right. So I'm launching. So, oops, I'm going to pause real quick. And we should be good. So once again, welcome everybody. Thanks for coming in. We just, Lisa and I talked about doing one more webinar right now in this series that we're doing, and then we'll probably take a few, take a little bit of time off or to kind of reassess what we're doing and rethink our processes before we start back up. So, but I think everybody knows Lisa, except Cindy. I don't think Cindy was on before. So Lisa, go ahead and introduce yourself. So in case there's a couple that might have not know who you are.
Okay. Thank you, Gary. So my name's Lisa J. McDonald. I've been a business coach for about 19 years now. I help creative entrepreneurs and holistic practitioners to get the results that they want in their business and to be in flow. I'm also an author. I have over 27 books published and I love writing. And so I'm just really excited to help support you guys to grow your business today and what you need to do so that you can feel most supported and weather this very interesting storm that we're in.
Yep, absolutely. Cindy, what the reason you're seeing only us is because this is a format, not a Zoom meeting. So as such, I don't open up the screens for everybody. You just get to see me and Lisa. So, but you can chat, and that if you have questions, you can raise your hand down in the lower right-hand corner, I believe it is. You can raise your hand if I don't see your question, but type it in because I have you can just type it in. I have the questions open on my other screen, so I see them as they come in. So if you see me looking off to the right, you'll, or your left, I guess it is, whatever that direction is there. I'm not looking off and I'm not checking the time. I'm reading your questions as they might come in. So, okay. So Lisa, you want to go ahead and start? You had some stuff that you want to do.
Yeah. We were going to talk a little bit about how to weather the storm and what are some tips that we can look at. So what I did back in 2009 is I interviewed 50 different business owners in 50 different industries, and I started highlighting what they said, what worked for them, and what were the biggest mistakes that they saw. And so I really talked to those people who were doing really well and weathered it and looked at what could possibly, can we glean from that, because success leads clues. Now, the first mistake that they said that others did is sabotaging yourself. So at this particular time, it is really, really easy to not really value who you are and what you're bringing, or having the confidence that you can weather the storm, because none of us really know what's going to be coming towards us, how to handle it. And so all the rules have been thrown out. So looking at how can you maintain and be in your power and how can you move forward is one of those really important things to look at. Look at, you know, what is your thinking? How are you navigating this? What are you owning your value? I've worked with a lot of women, and oftentimes it's a little bit harder for them to just really be out there and say, yeah, I'm really good at this. I can do this. Or when I work with my men, it's more on the leadership, knowing exactly what their leadership is and what they bring to the table. So looking at those kind of things right now would be important, and really looking at what's holding you back, what can keep you from really being brilliant in your business right now. Those are important questions. I was looking at, actually for myself today, if I can get a little personal, at the beginning of this year, I got to go on a trip of a lifetime, and I went to India for 15 days, and I got to really know the people there, got to see some of the landscape, made some really good friends. And what's happening right now in India is just, it's breaking my heart, to be honest. It's just horrific what they're people are going through. It's just a lot of really hard things, much worse than it is here. And when I was looking at what's holding me back in my business, it was that, just not knowing how to deal with that helplessness of these people that I love and I care about. I have some friends there. That feeling of helplessness and not being able to do anything about it was keeping me back energetically from engaging in my business in the most powerful way. So I spent some time this morning and I navigated, and I decided that I am going to figure out, once this is all over, a group that I'm going to join and help rebuild India when they're out of this mess. Once I had that decision, I felt a lot more free, and All of a sudden, when I was going to strategy, it was a lot easier to come up and get really clear on that. Now, I'm a high sensitive person, so that kind of strategy I needed to do, and I pretty much guessed that everybody on this call, not everybody is the high sensitive. So looking at what are the other blocks and obstacles? Is it not knowing how to do something? Is it the fear of doing something? Is it keeping yourself too busy that you're not really able to focus on your business? But really look at what is sabotaging you right now and address that. So that's what we're here for, is to help answer any of, if it's a knowledge void, because a lot of times we get stuck if we don't know how to do something. That's why Gary is so wonderful, because we're all going virtual. So knowing the technology skills, it's helpful to have somebody like Gary on your class. But if it's not even knowing what your message is, or how are you going to reposition, all those kind of things are important so that you are presenting your strongest foot forward and you're not doubting yourself as we're going through all of this unknown.
Cool. Yeah, it is a challenge. I mean, it is a challenging time. And as I was saying earlier, you know, we choose how we want to do that. I mean, how do we handle that? Do we, you know, do we curl up in a ball and try to stay, you know, kind of in a fetal position until this is over, or do we move forward with what we got to do in business and find this as a wonderful opportunity to move ourselves forward and actually utilize that? So again, that's one of the reasons I've been doing more of these workshops, because, you know, it's always a challenge to find a time when I could conduct a workshop. Because finding a time and finding a place, and then people got to stop, you know, take off. And now it's like, okay, I don't have anything else to do. Let me jump in on there on the webinar and we'll learn something and use this as a time to grow. So hopefully that's the reason why we're really pushing these, and I'm doing a lot of these as well. So it's a time.
Well, and you know, other people react. Some people go completely frozen, but other people go into panic mode and they start just trying to just jump in and start going, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, and not sit back and have the strategy. So, you know, part of it is really figuring out your personality and how are you responding so that you can be strategic about it, and spending time on where am I blocked? What is working, what isn't working, and knowing your numbers, knowing, okay, if I execute this strategy right now, which one is working the best? So it's just figuring those kind of things out can really make a big difference right now, can make all the world. You know, for some people, the best thing they could possibly do is apply for a loan and make sure that they have some kind of money income coming in so that they're not in that overwhelming panic that it will eat away at any confidence. So it's being really clear what is the very best next step for you to go forward.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. So I've got one of the questions. Joseph asked a question here, so I'll go ahead and do that one since that's on the list here. Using social media to enlarge my pool of people to put in the loop. So how do you utilize social media? Well, that's a great question. And it starts with defining your audience. So who is your audience that you're trying to reach? Who is the ideal client for you? So you want to get clear on that, because there are different strategies, different social media strategies to find that audience. So without knowing who they are, what you want to do is try to see, you know, where people that fit your demographic are falling into, which platforms. Facebook is still a strong platform from a standpoint of people on there, but from a standpoint of visibility from a business side, you're really challenged, because you do a Facebook business page, and you work and you have 100 people that like your page, and you do a post and 3 people see it. So what's the value of that? It's very limited in what it can do because of Facebook's new algorithms and all the changes that they've made. On the other side of that coin, Instagram has become a lot more popular and a lot more powerful from a standpoint of the fact that all of the results posted in Instagram are unfiltered. So as you post, anybody that's following you on Instagram is going to see that post or potentially see the post. So from that standpoint, I'm finding that Instagram is an effective tool for building that brand, your brand, and getting people to to see you, to recognize who you are, what you're doing, and to start building the name recognition. If you're looking at business people or people that are higher income level, LinkedIn is going to be a source for that. And that's going to be an upcoming class for me as well, because I'm going to, LinkedIn used to be very, very valuable. And then it got, I won't say what I think it really happened to it, but it turned into the evil stepsister, and it sort of got abused, and it sort of got misused by so many people that a lot of folks pulled away from Instagram. But
LinkedIn, you mean?
Yeah. But a couple of years ago, Instagram was bought out by Microsoft, and Microsoft has done a drastic turn, and LinkedIn has come back in a powerful way to be a great tool. But
it's,
I guess the,
for me, it's hot. I do really well there.
Yeah. But I guess the real key, no matter what your audience is going to be, to find the audience and see where they are. But if you're, the biggest key is going to be in anything is going to be generating content that people find of value. So you can put out there the short little statements about, here's what I do, blah, 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 cute little memes, cute little graphics. Those are all fine from a brand recognition. But if you want people to engage and get your message through your business page, through your Instagram settings, through whatever it might be, you need to put out something that's value. So that's really the key is creating value content. Lisa, you got something you want to add to that?
Yeah, I really do. I think if we were looking at the trends and what's going on right now, globally, everybody's been sent to their rooms, right? We're on a global timeout. It's time to, we've been sent to our rooms, not everyone, but most people are. And we've had a lot of time to do that. And what happens when people are at home more and they have a lot more downtime is there's time to think. I know a lot of people are getting on Zoom and doing drinking parties and that kind of thing, but there are a good percentage of people who are rethinking their values of their life because they have the time. Is this the business I want to be in? Is this what lifestyle I want? What is my message? Who am I? What do I want for the rest of my life? Where, when there's so many people dying, it gets you really reflecting. And because of this, I propose to you that our audience is going to be changing more and is going to have a higher need of having an authentic voice because they are doing their internal work, whether they want to or not, that when we come back and everybody is back into business, to have your message really land with somebody, you're going to be needing to speak with your own voice, with residency. We're now not wanting to just having somebody who just flat out writes marketing copy for you. You want to be speaking from your voice and why you're motivated in your business. And so that's going to take a little time and effort of really looking at what copy do you have out there? Is your website really reflecting the current shifts and the moves? Because things have changed and people who are sending out the automated messages, it's not landing well. And I don't think it's going to land well in the future. So I would really encourage everybody here to look at your marketing copy, the websites, the emails, and everything that you're sending out there. And look, is it reflecting your values? Is it reflecting how you're changed? And is it more resonant with what's going on for the entire world? Because if you're not acknowledging the fact that we've all gone through trauma and being sensitive to that and being a little bit more upbeat instead of, some of that old messaging of guilt and shame and trying to get people into doing your thing out of fear, that's not going to land anymore and it's not going to work. So I strongly encourage people to find their voice and to have that accessible into their marketing copy.
Absolutely. And having that, having a clear marketing message is more than sales. It's more than sending a sales pitch. And that's in this day and age, and you guys, a lot of you have heard me say it before, and you probably heard on previous webinars as well, but we're in an edutainment industry time now where people want to be educated, but they want to be entertained as well. And so the old sales techniques, the old closing techniques, the old, you know, hey, what can I put you into this, you know, into this website today type of thing, doesn't work. That doesn't fly anymore. I mean, people are way too savvy to fall into those traps of any kind of pressure type sales. You got to give them value. You got to give them something of meat and that they go, wow, I want more. And that's hard to do. I won't lie to you. That is not an easy thing to do, but you have to really give it some thought. And once you understand it, and once you understand your voice and the message that you're trying to convey, like Lisa was talking about, it becomes easier then, because you have you kind of know what your message is going to be, and then it's just crafting it from there. So,
and seeing how it lands, and you know, knowing what makes you unique, why should somebody work with you versus somebody else? I've worked with a lot of chiropractors over the years, and this is a really hard question for a lot of chiropractors or people who are in the healing industry, because they think, well, I just heal people. But why should somebody go to you versus somebody else? If you can answer that, you can start attracting the right people, because you don't want everybody, even though some people think they do want everybody. You really don't. You want to have your unique ideal clients coming to you. And by doing that, you need to speak in their language and what is their problems, and show your expertise in how you solve a particular individual's kind of problem. And when you do that, and when you land that, you will have more of those clients that are a joy to work with than those clients that give you headaches.
Absolutely. Okay. So I think another question, and kind of offshoot of the one we just answered, was a little bit more in depth about Instagram. What is Instagram? How does it work? Why is it effective? Why is it a hot property today?
Everybody's talking about it right now, Gary. What's going on there? That and TikTok, but I don't know if TikTok's for business.
I have my own reservations on TikTok, and I'll tell you that later if you want to hear it. But Instagram, how many of you are using Instagram? Just for my information. So if you use Instagram, just let me know, pop it in the chat and let me know that you, yes or no. Instagram is a Facebook company. Okay, so it's owned by Facebook. Right now, Instagram is a one-way connection, kind of Twitter, and the fact that it is not a mutual, you don't have to accept a friend request. You can follow people on Instagram, and they can choose to follow you back. Now, if you do things strategically, then there's a good chance to get a good percentage of those to follow you back, 20 to 30%. I think that's the average, 20, 30% of the people that you follow you back. You can increase that by engaging with them and engaging content. But as a result, you have an open channel to everybody that's following you for now. And I will put a caveat in there, because like I said, I think Instagram is a great tool right now. The problem is head of Instagram was the head of the Facebook business page feed. And saw what he did to that. So our time before Instagram gets the same treatment. So we don't know, but there, and you utilize the social media platforms that are working today. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, because what happens if they pull the plug? I was watching a webinar a half ago, from an online marketing guru and huge income every month from Facebook. And when Facebook made all the changes, she said within a matter of a week or two, her income, her revenue dropped 70%. So that's why you can't put all your, you know, you got to have a diversified plan and be able to mold and adapt when things change. The key component of Instagram, you have two pieces of Instagram. You've got their newsfeed, which is similar to what Facebook's newsfeed is. and you've got Instagram stories. And stories have really become a popular segment of Instagram because they show up prominently. They're at the very top of the Instagram news feed. They're the little round circles that you see up there. And as you and a story only lives for 3 days. So your stories, for 24 hours. You're right. The story only lives for 24 hours. So it adds a sense of urgency to that. So are we having some internet cutting out? We may be.
Yours is going in and out a little bit.
It's Facebook. Let's cut off a few things here and see.
So while you're looking at that, Gary, I've heard with some of these places, if you can get in there early, it's better. It will be all the advantage.
With everything, it's the early adopter advantage. It's always an, but there again, nobody knows about it. So you don't have the crowd there. So, you can be an early adopter and be in there on the front lines. But then if nobody else is
hearing
there,
from you, you kind of want to get them into your newsletter or some other funnel off of there because you don't know when things exactly are going to change. Yep. So you want to keep that in mind.
Exactly. And yes, I am going to, Cindy, I am going to be doing an Instagram class. I've got some already set up that I've done for realtors, but I will put those in place and let people know because there's some, once you know the strategies, it works. You can work it pretty simply. And it's not hard to do, but Instagram stories are the ones that I really think are so powerful right now because it's a day in the life. It's what's happening now. It is just something that you can do, nonchalantly almost in the fact that you end up getting, but you get visibility because people kind of like to see what's happening and they don't necessarily have to be, very, very professionally or very smooth.
How much time does something like this take in order to be successful?
Oh, there's a good question.
We only have so many hours in the day, Gary. So that's something I'm sure many of us are wondering.
Understandable. So let's just say I want to, so I'm going to take, and I'm going to Instagram. I'm going to do an Instagram story. Come on. I got to get to my stories here.
So what's the difference between the stories and the feed?
Of course, it's going to be acting up for me right now. So I can literally pull up my phone. I can literally pull up my phone and go and click and say a story. And I'm going to go, hey, everybody, doing a webinar right now on marketing Q&A. So if you guys want to jump in, you ought to join us in. Click, post, done. Okay. If they're 15-second stories.
So how often do you need to post to develop a good following?
The more frequency you have, the better. But again, it's kind of like what's on your plan for today. So it tells people that, it almost goes back to the old saying, I don't want to tell everybody what I'm going to do for breakfast. Well, yeah, but that's kind of what people are looking for. Not what you're having for breakfast, but something amusing that's going on in the day, something challenging, something productive you're doing during the day. You can do, I did one. It's a while back, I guess, probably back in the fall, we had earlier this year, we had a rain and the running. So I went down by the river. Hey, for those of you that have never seen it, this is what a river looks like with water in it. Was that pertinent to my business? Nothing at all. But, it's that.
What was the response on that one, Gary?
I had a lot of likes and a lot of people looking.
So, you never know.
I know. So that's it. So Instagram does have some powerful components of it. So the other thing with Instagram you need to understand, and I'm not going to go into it much today, I will just kind of highlight it so you'll be thinking about it, is the area of hashtags. That is currency of Instagram. The hashtag is the pound sign, pound sign in there, and you follow it with a letter or with some words. But that becomes searchable. So what happens if somebody is looking for, so let's say, you know, massage therapy Tucson. I'll just pick on the massage therapy Tucson. And so you put that in there and, you know, you talk about, you know, here's what I'm doing. Here's the latest, you know, the latest area of work. You know, you got problems with this. Let me show you a quick thing you can do, something like that. And then you hashtag it with massage therapy Tucson or Tucson massage or, you know, whatever it might be. And then also with your brand. So when you do that, now if somebody is looking for that, somebody local that does massage therapy and they follow that along, it can direct them to your hashtag and then your post. So hashtags are a cool thing in Instagram. A lot of people use them in Facebook. I don't see any need. Facebook doesn't search them that way, so it's really zero value. Twitter is where the hashtags really started. But again, for most small businesses like you, Twitter's not the place to be. It's a, you know, Twitter is like walking up to the fire hose, putting your mouth around it and opening the valve. It's just going to flood you and you're not going to get anything out of it. So, so what do I mean by hashtag brand? So you use the pound sign and mine is going to be hashtag 8BizNinjaMarketing, all one word, or it's going to be hashtag NinjaMarketingDojo, or it's going to be hashtag StepItUpEnterprises, or hashtag StepItUpQueen for Lisa. It's the brand that you're building. It's your, so in Candace, in your case, it would be a hashtag presence of mind. That would be, that's what the hashtags are. So it's a way that people, it's a way that you start building the brand recognition. So people begin to see posts based on other hashtags, but then they can start following you because they know I'm always going to get that 5-minute motivation or that 5-minute relaxation message from presence of mind.
Do you use keywords on the hashtags too?
Huh?
Do you use keywords on the hashtags?
Oh, that's exactly what a hashtag is.
I mean, it's gonna be, you're talking about people's business brands, but do you also put in the keywords of what your message is?
Yeah. There is a specific strategy and all that within a specific webinar, but there is a specific strategy. You want to use keywords, your major keywords. You want to also use your brand keywords. So you use specific, you use localize, and then you use brand. So that's kind of what the hashtags are. Like I said, I'll do a webinar on that, and I do a whole webinar on hashtags to show you how those work. So that's a little bit about Instagram. Sort of gives you a little feedback there.
So I'll jump in and go into the second mistake that many business owners made back in 2008. And one of them was that they refused to take risks. So those who did better and who fared better were the people who are willing to take risks. And I know right now people are looking for the security for all of that. And I think what's just happened in the real world is we found out that there isn't security. What we thought the way the world was going and what was going, you know, having the traditional job was secure when many of us entrepreneurs are faring much better through this storm than those who have the big corporate business companies. So you want to look at your risk factor and are you willing to take some risks right now, because now is the time to see and test and see what's going on. One of my big mentors was Max Simon, and he got taken on and got hired by the Chopra Center down in San Diego. It was a big healing center. And he took their online marketing from $1 million to $10 million in 1 year. And his big model that he taught us to do, it always say was fail faster. So in his company, he'd gather all his employees together and said, how did you fail today? Let's celebrate that you took the chance. Let's celebrate that you took a risk. Now, I'm not talking about being really stupid and throwing out all the money out there, but being willing to take some risks and some breaks and just seeing what works. You know, seeing, trying out that Instagram, putting on that camera. I know it's really hard for a lot of us to be seen and to be visual, but right now, if you're not seen and you're not being heard, you're not going to be heard. So, you know, taking the risk and seeing, you know, I might not be able to do it perfectly. And it's okay. Just celebrate the fact that you tried and to take risks, because there's no way that there's no sure answer right now. The only sure way to fail is by not taking a risk.
Right. Absolutely. That's a great tip. And that's the thing I tell people. That's, I did a recent webinar on video and use of video. And one of the things that I think I led off the webinar actually with it was the biggest fear people have is being on camera. That's one of their big fears, because I don't like the way I look.
Public speaking, Gary, public speaking, people rather die.
Yep. Yep. I know. Rather run out in front of the traffic than try to tackle speaking in public or, you know, like I said, being on camera. A client sent me a video the other day. She said, "Tell me what you think. I hate my voice." I said, "What can we do about it?" I said, "Nothing. It's your voice. I can't change that."
I mean, I can. What the professional speakers do is they put rocks in their mouth and they go around and they speak for hours, trying not to have the rocks fall down their throat and to learn how to have a deeper voice. It helps females to get our voices lower because our high pitch is harder for people to hear. So that's what professional speakers do, is they put rocks in their mouth and practice with that. So that's a tip for you, Gary.
I've been accused of talking with rocks in my mouth before, but not on purpose. So.
But it came back in the Greeks. That's what they developed, the Greek philosophers. That's how they became good orators, is by practicing with pronunciating and being able to be heard and understood with speaking with rocks in your mouth.
Yep. Okay, so if you guys have any other questions coming up, pop them in. I have a couple more that I want to cover. So one of the things I strongly recommend, and we alluded to it earlier, and the fact that control of your online presence is, you only have two things you control, and that is your website and your email list. Everything else is at the whim of, you know, LinkedIn is at the whim of whatever Microsoft decides to do. Facebook is at the whim of whatever Zuckerberg and his team decide to do. The sites come and go, the TikToks, the Snapchats, the Vines, the, you know, shooting all the way back to, what was the first one? What was the first one? I don't even remember now what it was called. Anyway, doesn't matter. But so all of them come and go. And if you tie everything to one of those, then you're going to be, when something changes, your business suffers. But if you build your online presence to feed your offline presence, now you have a whole lot more stable. You have a whole lot more stable platform to work with. So for example, build up that relationship with somebody, you know, in LinkedIn, for example. We build that one-on-one relationship with somebody in LinkedIn. Then the idea is to take them offline to get them into a one-on-one type of situation where you engage, whether it be via a one-on-one chat like Zoom, whether it be a face-to-face coffee, whatever it might be. Your whole point is to get them into a one-on-one dialogue. So, and there's a lot of good strategies for that. And I have some really cool ones when I do the LinkedIn class. So I'll share those, but just be thinking about how do you take them offline. But email is a powerful, powerful tool. How many of you have an email marketing list? Just pop it in the chat, you know, or in the questions, either one. How many of you have an email marketing list, and how often do you email to that list? An email list is something that can be the value add that you need to keep in front of your audience. So what happens is Lisa's been working on hers and cleaning up a massive email list that she's had for a while and it's been sitting there dormant. But
yeah, don't take off and go get 2 degrees. It's not good for your email list.
So, but an email list lets you stay in touch with people on a regular basis. And so a lot of people I know build an email list and then they have it built and ready to go. And then they don't ever do anything with it, or they don't add any people to it. Right, Bob? Sorry. Worked on that yesterday, didn't we, Bob? So you work on that idea of get your audience built so that they then hear from you on a regular basis.
It's a relationship. Yeah. You want them to be giving them valuable. You got to prove to them that they can trust you, and you want to be staying top of mind. So it's one of the easiest things that you can do to really develop your business, but it's also not easy because you have to write it and you have to know marketing copy or find somebody that can help you with the marketing copy.
But the key is, and the other thing you have to be very cautious of is your email marketing list is not a sales tool. Okay. You got to get that point in your head. It is not a sales tool. As soon as you start using that for sales, then your list is going to go to zero. You're going to watch your unsubscribes skyrocket. And the same thing is true for your social media sites as well. I mean, as soon as you start, you know, you start sending every turn around an instant message in Facebook for something that's happening, or you post in your Facebook page or your Instagram page is buy my stuff. Hey, look at the great stuff that I do. Here's the great stuff I do. As soon as that happens, you're going to lose following like crazy. So the email has to be value. Now, it's not to say you can't put any sales in there, but in a newsletter or email blast, it should be information of value. What's going on? What I want you to know, some stuff that you can use at the bottom. Hey, if you're interested, I also do this and feel free, you know, here's my special or here's what I'm doing right now. So the focus, big picture value, the little side of it is, hey, keep me in mind when you need web design, SEO, social media, whatever it might be. That's the key to that. What platform do you use? There's three or four that are really good. Most everybody I work with starts with MailChimp. MailChimp is free up to 2,000 emails, and you can send out as often as you want. It's just once you pass the 2,000 subscriber mark, they start dinging you for
pretty harsh too. It goes up really fast.
Yeah, you know, it goes. I think it up to 3,000 or 3,500, it's like, it's only 20 or 30 bucks. But when you get up in the 6,000-7,000 range, it's gets up in the $70-$80 a month range.
Yeah. But 10,000 gets to 85. But one of the nice things about it is I'm having my 13-year-old help manage my newsletter list, because I needed some cleaning up. And within 5 minutes I taught her, and she's loving helping cleaning up, and I'm loving having her do it. So, you know, if it's easy enough that a 13-year-old can do it, you guys can do it. And then I have to call Gary on other things, because it does get a little confusing.
The learning curve is there is a little bit of a learning curve there. So you do have to understand how to use that. But by the same token, it's not difficult once you understand it. And the other thing that's cool about it is once you build your first email template, your email campaign that you're going to send out, and you get the template like you like it, and you have the graphics in there, and you have the, you know, your header and your logos and that kind of stuff that you build into it. Next one is a piece of cake. I came in a few years ago for a client that I need to send out next week, and it will literally take me about 10 minutes to put that together, because it sends me the copy. I open it up MailChimp. I copy the copy in there. I put the pictures in that she wants put in there. I insert the link to a video in there that she wants in there. And I schedule it to go out at the time and the day and time that I want to go. And literally I can do it in 10 minutes.
And you can automate too. So if you have a welcome series, you can automate. You know, the welcome email is one of the most important emails of your entire that you send out, because you're really teaching people who you are, how to interact, and that you can provide value. So you can do a series of 3 to 5 welcome emails and have them all automated. So whenever anybody signs up, they can go through that system. And that's one of the things I love about it, is that when I like to take big blocks of time and just write a whole bunch of emails because I'm in the mode, and then I can get a whole bunch of them there. And just, you know, right now I'm tweaking them to make it sure they're on point because of what's going on in the current situation. You want to make sure you be conscious of that, but you can get a lot of work done automatically and not have to worry about it every single day.
Absolutely. And that's the key. I mean, once you, everything you can automate, it so much makes things life so much easier. Another tool that another email platform I use is AOLweber. I've used AOLweber for many, many years. I like AOLweber because it has probably the most robust autoresponder of anything on the planet. You can schedule out 12 emails, or, you know, you can schedule out emails for a year in advance. And you want to make sure if you're using something like that, and if you're going to a drip type of a campaign where you're sending information every month, then you want to make sure that that content is what's called evergreen. And the fact that it's good at any point in time. So you don't schedule into an autoresponder a Christmas or a 4th of July email, because it may get the 4th of July email in November, and the Christmas one they may get in March. So because they go based on the time frame that somebody signed up, and so it's in a sequence. So, but you can come up with good information that is helpful. That is value tips and ideas and things that you can share. And then anything you want to do that's specific time related, holiday wise or seasonal or what's happening, then you send those, you know, as a one-off, not the autoresponder.
And so, those holiday ones, there's a lot of open rates for them if you can make it relevant to what's going on in people's lives during that time. So that they are a really good place to focus and to, frame your marketing copy.
Right. Absolutely. And then the third one that a lot of people use is Constant Contact. I've used that as well. I liked Constant Contact. I don't have them anymore, but I was paying for 3. I didn't need to pay for 3 after all, but I liked Constant Contact for events. They did a great job if you're doing events and charging for it, because they would actually integrate with PayPal. In which case, then I set up, and when I run the event, the money goes to PayPal, and it automatically comes into my bank. If you use an Eventbrite type of a scheduling event scheduler, they process the credit card, keep a percentage, and give you the rest of it after the event's over. So I'm not a big Eventbrite fan, although they work well. So anyway. So anyway, those are some of the social media, I mean, the email marketing sites that I recommend.
And just so you know, I am putting together a package if you're struggling on marketing copy, that where I will help you through the marketing copy. So you don't always have to do it on your own, but it's helpful to have somebody help you to get to your authentic voice.
So Joseph's question is, recommendations to develop or process to develop my story and to put that story on social media. So you're, I guess maybe I need to clarify and make sure I understand what your question is asking. So are you talking about like building your, building more of a bio, or is this a kind of a longer base of, you know, where your journey and what you've done and where you are.
For him to answer, I just want to tell him and everybody, pay attention to the stories that you're telling your clients. What are you telling them about other clients? What are, you know, the pain, where somebody was, what did you do to help to fix the problem? And then where are they now? You want to really pay attention to those, because oftentimes you guys are telling the stories that will make a really good marketing copy. And you just don't even realize it. So one of the exercises I give to a lot of my clients is go around with their phone and just record when they start going on one of those stories so they can capture it. Because oftentimes you're telling the stories that are working, that are convincing people, but you want to look at at, you know, what was the problem before they started working with you? What was the solution that you offered, and where are they now? And really looking at that and doing it in bite sizes, that can do really well in helping build your trust. But also speaking to other people who are in a similar situation, going, hey, I'm in that kind of situation. Maybe so-and-so can help me too.
One of the things I would suggest, you're talking about a lot of stories. So one of the things I would suggest too is two things. Number one, for the long story, I would use a video and do a video of you giving your story. Utilize your website. You can utilize that in YouTube. You can utilize that in social media sites, Facebook or LinkedIn. That would give you that kind of gives the voice and the experience that you want to share in a personal way that people can, that can resonate with people. Then I would also think in terms of for social media sites, if you're talking about putting them in, you know, either in your news feeds or something along that lines, but I would think in terms of doing those more in case study short bites. So I would give, you know, a case study incident of this thing, and this is how this affected me. And then, you know, the next case study would be, you know, then another one would be another phase of your life. So that would be, to me, I think that's the way you do it. Obviously you can put that longer version on your website in a blog format or in your about us, type of section, but, and then reference that from the social media, from your social media sites as well. But in social media, they need to be bite-sized pieces. It's really going to be difficult to get people to read a long story. Even if I'm caught up in it, I'm still totally not going
to
read it.
I found them videos that go on for a long time. I have a hard time. I'm like, I don't know if I have 5 minutes to watch this.
Yeah.
So you want to keep it short.
Yep. Keep it in mind and do excerpts or pieces of the story, and then lead them to something that with longer content. So if you do the full story in a video, put it on your website, put it up on YouTube, put it up on your website, embed it in your website, but cut down and do excerpt that are 1 to 2 minute excerpt that gets people's interest. And if they want to see more, you link them to more. So that would be my suggestion for that.
I know that I did a professional video on a while ago on my website, and that really drove me a lot of business. And, you know, I was looking at what is the purpose of my business, of my website, because everybody has a different purpose. My purpose was to establish credibility, that people could trust me, and that I had knowledge to help them. So I did work with a professional video people, and I got a lot of hits and a lot of business out of doing that, being able to talk on topic about the different issues that potential clients would be dealing with. And that video really served me for many, many, many years until the link died. Don't do that either. You want to make sure that you can have access to
your own copy. Don't rely on somebody else's or someplace else to have that
story. Yeah, because then they won't give it to you. Not everybody is as kind as Gary when you go back and go, okay, can I have my information? And the answer was no on my people. So that video went away, but it did help a lot. Just hooking up with somebody that's starting off on their video production business can really help both of you.
Absolutely. And video is critical. I mean, it is a critical component of your marketing plan. And, you know, whether it be live video, whether it be recorded video, there's no reason not to do a video now. I mean, my gosh, you've got the best camera, you know, for video right here without doing anything.
It's easy nowadays.
And you don't need a lot of, you know, if you're going to do a really good video, I have two suggestions. I have lighting, in which you probably see the glare from the light on my shiny glasses here. But I have good lighting so that I'm doing it's clear, you can see my face, and then I have I use a microphone. So when Lisa and I do videos, when we do them side by side, which we don't do anymore. Due to social distance, I can't get 6 feet apart and record us.
Show up for toilet paper, Gary.
Yeah, I know. We'll work for toilet paper. So when we do those side by side, I have a microphone. I have a the microphone that plugs into my phone, because we did those videos on my phone, the ones we you might have seen earlier with us. I do those on my phone, and I have a dual microphone plugs in. I think I paid $29 for it. Maybe, I don't know if I paid that much, but doesn't have to be expensive. But have a good microphone, have a good tripod where your camera's, you know, set up, and it's stable, and then
wireless.
Have that's decent lighting. Cool. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, there are wireless microphones, but I typically use the wired ones. I think I get
how
a
do
better.
How do you get it to start? You always push something.
Well, I do have a Bluetooth that will start my camera and stop it, theoretically.
So you're going to tell them about the mirror thing you do?
No, that's a video secret. You'll have to watch.
That's an inside secret. That's an inside trick.
You'll have to watch the video class for that one.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's my separate monitor.
So another thing that you can do to help navigate this time is really use this time. If you have a little bit more time on your hand, I would use it to get really on top of your industry, because people who follow their industry, follow the trends, see what's going on, see what the big thought leaders are saying, and seeing what the statistics are going to be able to make better decisions and to pivot faster. So looking at the research, looking at what's happening and really following the trends can make the biggest difference, because you want to be an early adopter. You're going to be one of the people going, because like what Gary said, Instagram, that's where to go right now. So that's being an early adopter, because Gary's studying his industry. I'm studying, I'm looking at how many people are still wanting to stay at home after this is done. What are companies thinking about it? Is it going to save more money? Where are the trends? Where are people going to be more located? What's going to be going on? So if you do have extra time, I strongly encourage spending an hour a day getting the information, watching the trends, watching the numbers, see what people's behavior is doing. Because when it comes to social media or to really help recruit people for your business, you want to look at the behaviors and what is that suggesting on how you should be positioning yourself.
So if anybody else have any questions, be sure and pop those in. I've got a couple more things I want to add. I'll add just from a standpoint of a checklist of things you need to be using in your, from a standpoint of the things that you can do that will have the most impact on your marketing. I'll read yours here in a second, Joseph, and I'll get right back to you. Let me give you a couple of must-haves for your marketing plan. So number one, we've talked about email. That's a must-have in my mind. Number two is video. Video is tab nowadays. Number three is going to be your website needs to be something more than a yellow page ad. It doesn't need to be something you create today and go, got that done, checked off my box, on to the next thing.
Oh, Gary, we want to do that.
I know, but sorry, you've got to give it some attention and some love. And primarily the thing to do, if you want to be found in the search engines, you need to be blogging. And I know people hate that and know people don't like to write, but creating the blog is one of the biggest things you can do to drive Google back to your website, to demonstrate your expertise in your website. So having that blog to me is a critical component. And then the last thing you do, I'll throw this out, and again, topic for later discussion. Understand the trends that are happening in search engine optimization today. And the biggest trend that is happening is to voice search. We are changing the way we search for things by, you know, saying, hey, Alexa, and she's listening. So
I only listen after you say the word.
That is so creepy, Gary. So creepy.
It is. So
now we're going to have an ad pop up on whatever you say next.
So the voice search capability, though, because it's so easy to go, hey, what is, how do I choose a, again, I'll go back to Cindy. How do I take care of a, you know, pain in my shoulder? That feels like not. We're going to ask the search engines for that. How do I deal with, a chronic headache that I might have? How do I get rid of this pop up on my computer that keeps giving me trouble and it tells me I need to restart this or, fix that? What do we do as soon as it happens? We go and ask search engines, or we ask our audio search assistant. I won't say the name so she can keep sleeping back there in the back corner. But we ask the question and then it gives us answers. Okay. What happens if your website then answers those questions that people are asking? There's a good chance that at some point in time, Google or the search engine or whoever's maintaining that database can go, ooh, here's a question, here's an answer. Ooh, let me marry those two up. And that's you that they show. So that's the thing that we're going to. We're getting away from this, the keywords of, search engine optimization Tucson, web design Tucson. We're getting into questions that are specific and people want to try to find the answers, initially fix it themselves and then go, no, can't do that. Call somebody now. So those are the types of things.
That's trends really that we a cutting edge information that Gary is telling you right now. I've just read a whole bunch of reports about 40% of the searches are with the screenless searching. So people are changing their behavior on how they're trying to get information and how they're trying to get access and how they're trying to find the different businesses and other things. So knowing that most people are at 40%, that's still quite a lot. That is changing behavior. And people are going to be looking for you differently. So having that awareness in your marketing copy is going to be very critical, because that is changing the way people are phrasing things, because what people say versus how they write for a search is very different. So you want to look at your linguistic choices of how you're putting your marketing copy together.
Yep, absolutely. So Joseph, looking at yours, and to me, that doesn't sound like a story.
What does Joseph do for a living? What's his business?
Joseph, I know you're doing you've been teaching transcendental meditation for years, but you also have another business that you're also working with as well. So, to me, that doesn't sound, that doesn't sound like a story. That sounds like a lead into a sales pitch. I'm sorry, but that's what it sounds like to me. So you have to be a little more, to me, you've got to be a little more subtle in the way you present that approach. It needs to be, this is my, how I was, this is what I did to, take myself from point A to point B. And by doing that, I was able to, to free up myself and be able to do things I wanted to do. And, and so you need to be, I think people kind of tune into the difference between a story about that's inspirational and that is, kind of moves people along to utilizing that in a sales situation.
By the way, inspiration is selling right now. People want hope. So if your solution in your business can cause somebody hope, and it can be simple things like, being able to get somebody out of pain temporarily or different things. Cause we have a massage therapist on here. Is that correct, Gary?
Yep.
Yeah. So if you can give us some tips on how to unkink ourselves until we can get back to our massage therapist, that'd be something that I'd really want to know about. And that'd be something I'd be remembering you, that you were helping me get out of my neck pain while I'm trying to endure not being able to see a massage therapist, that would help develop goodwill. So when I do get out of this quarantine, I can go and be one of the first people to see you, if that makes sense. It's you're really helping to give information to what your client is, or future clients, what is their pain point right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Lisa, do you have any other questions? We're at 2:00. So do we have any more questions?
Joseph just posted something. I was trying to see.
Yeah, just kind of business that he's working on right now is.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you got to with the healing industries, people get so caught up in how they fix the problem and not really addressing the language that your potential clients would have. Because you got to remember that once you've become a practitioner, your language has changed. So you want to look for your story of what would be people be saying right currently that when they're looking for you, and versus you as a practitioner on how you solve the problem. So you want to be very clear of if somebody was going to Google you for what a certain pain, you want to get clear on that particular pain point and then have the story based through that, not on the long-term practitioner things that you would do.
Right. It has to be, you know, the whole goal is to have to demonstrate your expertise via the story and examples, inspirational things. Let your stories tell people that you're an expert, and let the stories open the door for them to come to you, as opposed to trying to go to them with a pitch.
So people need to feel understood.
Yep.
So that's what you're doing with the story, is identify, hey, I get you. I understand what you're going through.
Yeah, exactly. Any other questions anybody have? Let's see any more here. Yep, exactly. Yes. Speak to the listening. Yeah, you definitely want to speak in a voice and in a message that they resonate with and identify with. If you don't, if you're talking at them instead of with them, then you've lost the competition. It's plain and simple.
It's got to be about them.
Yep, it does. Absolutely. Okay. Anything else anybody has that they would like to ask? I got more questions, but I think we've covered a lot of them here. One of the other things I would suggest doing is look for opportunities to get people to write reviews for you on whatever it might be. If you don't have a Google My Business page, and I think most of you should have, if you don't have a Google My Business page, you need that, and you need to encourage people to write reviews. You want testimonials from your customers and clients that is social proof, that tells people, you know, if I say, hey, I'm great, I'm boasting. If, you know, seven people on the webinar say, hey, Gary, that was a great job, and I'm going to post something on your Facebook page or your Google My Business page that says you did a great job, I'm bragging. Otherwise, but
if you can get video testimonials, even the better.
Oh, video testimonials would be fabulous.
Yes, they're phenomenal.
Yeah. So any of you want to tackle a video, that's a good opportunity for it right there. So. Alrighty, so thank you guys for attending. We appreciate your time. Hope you got some good information. Lisa and I are still working on our boot camp for later on, probably in the next month or so. We'll probably do some small webinars and some snippets here and there, but and we'll let everybody know when we do. But we are planning on doing a boot camp for businesses that we will take and do a lot of hands-on stuff. So it's going to be, you know, your marketing plan, but yeah, we're going to walk you through the process and sort of hold you accountable to do the things, because Lisa is a big on accountability.
Oh, I am. Implementation is all where it's at, Gary.
Yep. So, okay. If anybody has any other questions, as always, you know how to contact me. Lisa, tell them how to find you.
I'm at lisa@stepitupqueen, that's QUEEN.com. Or you can find me as Lisa J. McDonald on Facebook. So thank you for joining us. Hopefully this has been helpful, and we'd love to have this opportunity to serve you.
Thank you, guys. We will see you soon.